The following broadcast comes to you from Holy Trinity Lutheran Church of New Prague, Minnesota, from the worship service on Sunday, January 1st, 2017. Good morning. Happy New Year. And Merry Eighth Day of Christmas. Begin with the order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We take a moment for silent reflection. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. In the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for us. And for his sake, God forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I therefore declare to you the entire forgiveness of all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please stand as we sing together. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray together. O Lord God, You know that we cannot place our trust in our own powers. As you protected the infant Jesus, so defend us and all the needy from harm and adversity. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning. Fine New Year's morning. You'll have to bear with my oratory here. My eyes are a little cross this morning. First readings are from Isaiah. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior in all their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved him. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Second reading is from Hebrews. It was fitting that God, for whom and through whom all things exist, in bringing many children to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For the one who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one Father. For this reason, Jesus is not ashamed to call them brothers and sisters, saying, I will proclaim your name to my brothers and sisters. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise you. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. For it is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself was tested by what he suffered. He is able to help those who are being tested. The readings.
After the wise men had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I have called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, "Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. For when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled. He will be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord. The child may come forward for the children's sermon. Somebody said to me, this was like a what you call a sideways comment one time. Someone said, an adult, and this has happened a number of times, an adult said to me one time, "You don't have to, that's probably just the right distance right there. I can see why you don't want to be up here with me." Someone said to me one time, "I get so much out of your children's sermons." An adult said that. It's happened many times. "I get so much out of your children's sermons." So I thought, well, maybe there's a couple of you out there today, along with, what's your name?
Libby.
Okay, Libby, I have a surprise for you in the bag. Just a minute, though. There's a story that goes with the story we heard today. And there were some people that came from foreign countries to visit the baby Jesus. Do you know what we call them? What? We call them the wise men or the magi. Remember that part of the story? And they bring gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. It's a wonderful part of the story. And it comes right before this story that we have today, which is really more like R-rated, so your mom probably covered your ears during that. And that's probably why there aren't more kids here today, because their parents looked at the gospel reading and said, "You know, I think we'll just skip that one today." But you didn't. And I've got a surprise for you. So the question I have is, how did you remember, and anybody can answer this because poor Libby's all by herself and we don't want to put you on the spot, but you might know, the wise ones, the magi, got to the baby Jesus because they followed what? A star. Okay, maybe a star like this. Maybe a star like this. Okay, so we continue to come in contact with Jesus, right? Okay, so let's pretend that we are following a star today. So can you stand up and come with me? Just can you follow me? No, not so much into that. All right, so you watch. Okay, so if we're following the star, we can follow the star back here to where we have the baptismal font. All right, Jesus comes to us when we're baptized, right? The promise that we are always going to be with Jesus comes to us in baptism. So then we can come up here and we follow the star to the altar where we have the bread and the wine in communion, the body and blood of Christ, and Jesus comes to us in the body and blood of Christ in the bread and the wine. Jesus is present with us. And then we can go here in the midst of all these wonderful people and we can see that Jesus is present with us all. All right? So the star that the Magi followed continues to remind us that we are always in the presence of Jesus. Can you remember that, Libby? Does that sound like a good thing? Let's pray together. Dear God, we thank you for the star that led us to Jesus. Continue to come close to us. Amen. The slaughter of the innocents. The slaughter of the innocents is something with which we have become all too familiar. From the shooting, the terrorist attack in Turkey just yesterday, to Aleppo, Syria, to the Pulse nightclub in Orlando, to the Brussels terrorist attack, to the indiscriminate killing of police officers in Dallas. And that is just a few from the last year. And here, while we are shocked to hear of Herod's violent response to the birth of Jesus, we know. We know that such brutality has been an ever-present reality throughout all of human history. Matthew wants the early church and us who continue to read this story and ground our life of faith in these texts. Matthew wants us to understand that the birth of Jesus was a transformative event of global proportions. That's why the Magi come from a foreign country. They are not Jews. They are not part of the immediate circle of people that are touched by the presence and birth of Jesus. This story of the Holy Family's escape to Egypt is part of the larger story of the journey of the Magi, or wise men, to visit the baby Jesus, which I talked about with Lily. Herod, like all strong men before and after him, Herod is insecure and threatened by what he has heard about the baby. And so he tries to use the Magi to find Jesus, to pinpoint the exact location so that he can have him, as is said in the text, destroyed. The Magi are warned in a dream of Herod's evil intentions, and so they do not return to Jerusalem in order to avoid contact with Herod and thereby endangering the child. So they are really the first protectors of the baby Jesus. Because Herod cannot pinpoint the location of Jesus, he has all the males under the age of 22, of two, all the males under the age of 2 years old murdered. It's so gruesome that it's hard to say. And yet we must acknowledge these senseless acts of violence then and now, no matter how hard they are to say. I don't know about you, but I love stories about heroes. Most of us do. A few of us sat on the couch this last week, did a lot of couch sitting this last week, and watched the movie Finest Hours, in which a group of four U.S. Coast Guard sailors, true story, four U.S. Coast Guard sailors are sent out into a terrible winter storm in the North Atlantic in the winter of 1952 to rescue 32 crew members of a tanker that had been split in half by a storm and is now teetering on a shoal, a ridge, a shallow ridge, a ridge that where the water becomes shallow out in the ocean. And like so many stories of heroic actions, this event defies what's possible and elicits out of some people an incredible amount of courage and luck. When the sailors finally reach the tanker remains, their boat has suffered terrible damage and they have lost their compass. But somehow they make it back to land with the 32 crew members. Yes, we love heroes, real or imagined. Matthew portrays Joseph as the hero in this story, the great protector of his family. And again, it is a dream that causes him to act. Matthew loved to tell stories about dreams, right? The dreams of Joseph, the wise ones. Comes to Joseph in a dream as a warning that Jesus is in terrible danger and that the family must flee to Egypt in order to be safe. It's a terrible story on the eighth day of Christmas, just 1 week after we celebrated the beautiful nativity of the baby Jesus. We're not ready to set that aside, the beauty and innocence of Jesus in the manger, and we shouldn't set it aside. We should hold these things in balance together. We shouldn't set it aside because that simple story envisions a hoped-for future that stands in contrast to the violence that consumes so much of our world. And as people of faith, we retain our hope by holding forth those promises, those images of a different future. But there is more to this story, and it goes back to the original reason for Herod's violent reaction to the birth of Jesus. Jesus will grow up. And Herod knows that Jesus will grow up. Jesus, even as a child, but especially as an adult, teacher and crucified one, Jesus is and remains a threat to the way of violence and domination that is so prevalent in our world. The adult Jesus in Matthew's gospel sets the tone for his entire ministry in the Beatitudes just a few chapters after the one we are in today. Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and the persecuted. Jesus is always on the side of the vulnerable. And these words provide a framework into which we are able to assess what leadership means in our world. Once the innocent child protected from Herod, Jesus grows up to become the advocate for the sick, the suffering, and the poor. And ultimately, it is his stance in opposition to oppression and violence, in favor of peace and equality, that costs him his life. 18 years ago, on this very first Sunday of Christmas, this same gospel text was read on a day in which the congregation I was serving celebrated the baptism of 5 siblings who had recently arrived in the United States as refugees from Liberia, West Africa. They ranged in age from 4 to 19. Their father had come a few months earlier, as was a common practice, and we were not only welcoming them into their new home in Minneapolis, we were welcoming them into the life of Christ through this sacrament and into a particular community of faith, where they would remain actively engaged. During the sermon, I was able to recount how they themselves had literally run for their lives in the midst of the most recent Liberian civil war. They fled from their home, were helped by others, and eventually ended up in a refugee camp in the Ivory Coast. They told of their own belief that God had protected them, the same God that protected Jesus and Mary and Joseph. They were like all the refugees who somehow make it to safety. And we all remain keenly aware of all those who don't. And these then become our motivation as followers of Jesus to protect those who are the most vulnerable in our world. The good news of God made flesh continues to bring us hope. And Jesus, the Prince of Peace, grows up into a man. Jesus and his followers stand in opposition to each and every expression of violence and domination. And as much as we need the innocence of the baby Jesus, we need the adult Jesus crucified and risen even more. Amen. We join together in confessing the faith of the Church.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended to heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
We join together now in praying as Jesus taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Serve the Lord.